I'd like to introduce our next speaker today, Dr. Charles Vortman from University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
Thank you, sir. The purpose of this presentation is to introduce this atlas that was published this year on sorghum production in Eastern and Southern Africa. Our co-authors include individuals from Kenya, Tanzania, Ethiopia, Uganda, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and Rwanda. And they're all connected with their respective national agriculture research institutes. Grain sorghum is a crop of significant importance in Africa. It's very genetically diverse and widely adapted. For instance, there's considerable production in Rwanda at 2,000 meters. It's primarily a crop of small-scale producers and typically produced under adverse conditions with low input use and often on marginal lands. It faces numerous biotic and abiotic production constraints, and there are many quite diverse uses for the grain and stover with localized preferences. The resources for research and development for the crop are scarce, and so there's a question, how can we use the scarce resources more efficiently? Obviously, regional collaboration and research is important. Setting of the priorities is important, identifying the constraints and preferences and prioritizing these. The cropping systems are quite diverse. There are numerous socioeconomic factors that come into play, such as the division of labor between the genders as well as with children, how important it is as a market crop, etc. And so we put together this tool, this atlas, as a tool for prioritizing of research areas and for use in regional and national planning. We did a similar product in the 90s when I was in the dry bean world, a dry bean atlas for Africa. And it turned out to be quite a useful resource, we found. And recently, people with SEOT, I haven't been with SEOT for almost 10 years now, but people with SEOT, they did a survey on the use of it, and they found that it is being used by quite a lot of researchers across Africa. And so they're going to do an update on this. And so it's just evidence to support the potential value of it. The atlas we have now addresses 9 countries. We came out with an earlier version a few years ago with information for 5 countries. But we have Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, Mozambique, Zambia, Malawi, and Zimbabwe covered. A very obvious one that's missing, very important for sorghum production in Eastern Africa, is Sudan. And I just didn't have the resources to get that. Somalia has significant production, some in Eritrea, some in Botswana, some in South Africa. We don't have the production for these. But we do have a good continuous block of countries here. And that accounts for about 3.4 million hectares of production per year, or about 85% of the total. We broke the areas down into production areas. So we defined 39 production areas, usually using the agroecological classification of the National Agriculture Research Organization in the country. And it does span 40 degrees of latitude, which is similar to the northern border, the border of the U.S. with Canada, to the southern border of the very south of Mexico. So it's quite a wide range. The information is presented in maps, figures, and tables for the 39 production areas, and we address production constraints, cropping systems, management practices, uses of the grain as well as the stover, plant phenotype preferences, gender rows, and marketing. The data collection, some we were able to get from the public databases, such as hectares of production. At least they gave us estimates. The quality varied quite a bit from country to country. But much of the data we got were the co-authors interviewed people considered to be knowledgeable of sorghum in their country and obtained that information. And so they did 3 to 8 interviews per country. And most of these sorghum specialists were researchers. Some were extension personnel. Sometimes there are major differences in the results they got through the different interviews, and these had to be reconciled, and eventually, following that reconciliation, we reported the means. The interviews were largely done by using a counter method, where for a given topic area, such as the constraints, they were given a certain number of points that they could assign across the constraints. For example, with production constraints, we addressed 43 production constraints, biotic and abiotic. In the interviews, the interviewees could assign 120 points to these 43 constraints according to their importance. So one they might give 10 points to, others didn't get any points, even though the problem was there in the country, possibly, but it wasn't of sufficient importance that it got a point. Then we, in making our calculations of the tons lost, we worked on the assumption that the yield potential is 6.3 megatons per hectare with no constraints, that the mean yield is around 1.5, that gave us a difference of 4.8 tons, and we had 120 points, so each point essentially counted for 40 kilos. And we did something similar for the other traits as well. So this is a bit of information to show some, pick some information from the Atlas on cropping systems. In Eastern and Southern Africa, we found about 61% of this sorghum is produced in sow crop. That's quite a bit less than in Western Africa. And the main intercrops were were maize, cowbean, and common bean. And we see here, for instance, the maize sorghum intercrop is quite important in Mozambique and others elsewhere. Here, with intercropping with cowpea, for instance, is important in Tanzania. So I don't want to get into the details of this, but mostly to present, give you an idea what type of information is there. This is too complex to study in a presentation, but we do produce maps like these, where for each production area, we have a pie chart. The size of the pie chart is indicative of the 8 hectares affected. And then it's divided down to show what the major intercrops are. So for instance, in this area of north central Ethiopia, the main intercrops are common bean, cowpea, and finger millet. And it's got a large circle because there's so much sorghum production in that area. Whereas in this area, Mozambique, it was only intercrop with maize that came out is very important. There's information on planting times. This zone does, of course, span the equator. At the equator, we have 2 planting times per year in some cases, in Uganda and Kenya. In Ethiopia, the main planting time is April to June. We go south of the equator, and the planting times are in November to January. Again, we assess 43 constraints. This table shows the top 16. The stem borer complex came out to be very important overall. A number of others, nitrogen deficiency, striga, very important. And then water deficits. And for water deficits, we broke it down into 3 categories, early, mid-season, and late. Because often when we're designing our soil management strategies, et cetera, soil water strategies, we think in these terms. And if we added these up, this would be the major constraint, the most important constraint. Phenotypic preferences, we looked at preference for seed color and seed size, plant height, panicle type, photoperiod sensitivity, tannin content, and some other characteristics. And this map shows the distribution and preference for seed color, where in Ethiopia, for instance, strong preference for tan seed, some brown, near the equator, red types had some desirability, and in southern Africa, it was mostly the white and cream types. Something similar for gender responsibilities, and again, I won't get into the details of this. On major uses of sorghum, Stover came out quite important, that over these 9 countries, 26% of the value is with Stover, and Ethiopia, 37%. So we often, in our trials, we see these low harvest indexes. It's of concern, but still, it's not all that bad because that Stover is of use. Marketing, quite a bit of variation in how much is marketed, from 23% in Zimbabwe up to 67% in Rwanda. And overall, we came up with 34% of the sorghum that's produced by smallholders is marketed. So this atlas, again, it has been published. It's available at the insermill.org website. Insermill is the what used to be the International Sorghum and Millet Collaborative Research Support Program. It's now the Sorghum, Millet, and Other Grains Collaborative Research Program funded by USAID. We've been reluctant to adopt the acronym SMOG for different reasons, including that ICRISOT is well known. And the crops that ICRISOT now works with are sorghum, pearl millet, finger millet, teff, and a West African country crop. What is it? Fion? I can't think of the name of it right now. I don't know the crop myself, but yeah, that's it. What is it again?
Fonio.
Fonio, yes. All right, thank you. Well, there are different approaches. I mean, there are the breeding and agronomy approaches to try to help make a crop more productive. And a lot of this work is being done directly with farmers. But it's still in competition with the other crops. And as you know, in many places, it's lost ground to maize and some other crops. There's quite a bit of work being done by different people, including principal investigators with Insermill on adding value to the crop. Trying to improve it for livestock feed to different products that could be produced for human consumption, et cetera. Generally, this does not affect very much volume of production, though. And the big demand still is with local consumption. Like I pointed out, something like 35% of the crop is marketed. The rest is used at home. There may be opportunities for localized feeding of it. For it to be a biofuel crop, again, it's the economics. If we could see improved infrastructure so the grain could be moved more efficiently, the inputs could be supplied better so that the production is significantly increased, it might have a role. I think it would have to compete with some other crops like sweet sorghum, for instance, in those same environments where the grain sorghum might be grown, or if there's higher rainfall, of course, sugarcane is very competitive.
Maybe for at this moment for the small scale farmers themselves in Africa. But if you say research,
chopping a bit out of it, like you were saying?
Well, right now the production isn't there, I would say. All right, people, the producers will respond to the market. So which comes first? Do you establish the biofuel industry, a very big investment, you know, without the production in place? And then there's the uncertainty about the supply, et cetera. Can it be done at a smaller scale where it doesn't take so much investment? I mean, that's a consideration. And, you know, and we do know that farmers will respond to markets. And for our research to have much impact, we need to see that increase in markets. Some of us have been waiting for decades to see the right opportunities to make it really favorable for the small-scale producer to invest more in their production. And these obstacles just remain for much of Africa. So I don't know if that answered your question well enough. But.
Yes,